Welcome to Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. Think Tokyo's expensive? Well, think again. All the best tips for visiting and living in Tokyo on a pittance. Cheap sushi, cheap sausages, cheap dates, cheap dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap sumo, cheap salads, cheap bikes, cheap booze, cheap chicken.
Hello and welcome, all you cheapos and ladies and gentlemen, to another Tokyo Cheapo Podcast. I'm Chris Kirkland. Joining me today is
Greg Lane. What am I again?
You're the famous, infamous cheapo,
and you are the notorious cheapo.
So cheap that I'm going to spend my last meal in Tokyo before I go to Europe will be in Saizeriya. So we have got a great interview coming up this week. We tracked down a cheapo who was doing as we preach on our website and staying in an internet cafe. So we sit down with him and probe him as to his experience. But before that, we've got our regular features, Cheapo Eat calendar, and share with you some of the social media love we've been having. Let's dive straight away into a meat fest cheapo tip.
Yippee.
Which is obviously not that high on Greg's menu, since he's not a
meat
eater.
So don't expect to find any meat reviews on Tokyo Cheapo from me.
Yeah. So hopefully I can hold up the meat in Greg's stead. There's some sort of innuendo in there somewhere. Anyway, the cheapo eat tip this week, Niku Yokucho in Shibuya. Specifically, my recommendation is Niku Rakuen. So Niku Yokucho is like a kind of indoor marketplace.
What's Yokucho? It's almost like a back street or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like an indoor back street, I suppose. It's, you know, you like have a food court in department stores. Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a kind of real sort of rough and ready version of that.
Yeah, kind of improvised in a way. All meat.
It's a meat food court. Niku Rakuen is particularly cheapo friendly because it has a Wagyu A5 Hamburg for 980 yen.
Okay.
It might even be 930, I can't remember the price, but definitely sub 1,000 yen dinner. And it's Wagyu A5. A5 is apparently the highest grade beef, and you know, it's likely to be more healthy, and it's definitely more tasty.
I don't purport to know much about how it tastes and stuff, but I do know you can't get Wagyu outside Japan. The stuff in the States and perhaps even in Europe called Wagyu, but it's actually Japanese-style beef. They get the local farmers to produce beef that has the kind of marbled appearance of the Japanese beef, but it's not actually Wagyu, so I guess that's kind of a good tip.
While we're on the subject of Wagyu, Kobe beef isn't the best beef.
There's Matsuzaka?
Probably Matsuzaka. It kind of changes, you know, different places become more fashionable or whatever.
Right.
Typically, anybody who's outside Japan thinks Kobe beef is the top beef.
Mm-hmm.
That's like so last year. So yes, Niku Yokucho in Shibuya. We'll put a link to it on the podcast page so you can find it. It's kind of sandwiched between the Seibu department store area and the
Tokyu Hands.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of between Seibu
You know, for a newcomer to Japan, that's a very easy area to get lost in.
Yeah.
When I first went to Shibuya, I found Tokyu Hands, and probably about the next two or three times I visited Shibuya, I couldn't find it again.
Well, back in those days, there was no such thing as smartphones.
True, there was. Yeah, you used to print out the map before you ventured out.
It was like impossible to get around without a smartphone.
Uh huh.
You know, there's no street names. It's just
a game changer, as they say.
On from moaning about Japanese maps to the cheapo calendar. What have we got coming up?
Nothing really huge, but there's a couple of small events we can mention. One is an event called Rainbow Pride, a Tokyo LGBT event, a parade around the kind of Harajuku and Shibuya area. So that is happening on April 28th, I think, from about lunchtime. So one of our reporters actually went to the one last year, and there weren't that many people taking part in it. But I think that's because they had some massive spat. It was supposed to be organised, and then the organiser cancelled it, and then another group kind of organised something in about 3 weeks. So that's probably why. But it seems to be better organised this year, so maybe there'll be a big turnout. You know, if the weather's good, it's probably worth checking out.
I always remember Pride in Brighton when I lived in England. It was a weekend of debauchery and madness.
I think it'll be more of a Japanese style pride, so it'll be, you know, measured debauchery and madness. So
yes,
one more event on the other end of the scale. If you're missing Hanami, there's always a flower festival on in Japan. So now that the cherry blossoms are finished, it's the turn for the azaleas. You've probably noticed all the hedges, and if you're in Tokyo around the end of April, basically these boring looking hedges just come alive with all these color, like white and pink and things. So there's a few good places to check out if you're if you want to see like a really spectacular display. Nezu Shrine in Bunkyo Ward. So they have a big azalea festival on until the start of May. And have you been to the Imperial Palace East Gardens this time of year?
I've been there a few times, yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite spectacular as well. Definitely worth checking out. One thing, it's kind of a bit silly, but if you have a bee phobia, keep away, because there's these massive Japanese hornets that turn up. They're the size of a small airplane. They're pretty harmless, just leave them alone. But my kids, for example, just freak out when they see these things. So
aren't the Japanese hornets the most deadly insects in the world?
Well, yes.
just kind of clarify what you mean by harmless.
Okay, harmless. Well, you know, it's like...
You might not die if you get stung.
Well, it's like going to the aquarium, you know. There's sharks in the tank. Just don't jump in the tank.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
No, I have had these. I've had one in my room. I've had one in my balcony.
There's a few of them. There's the hornets are the big long ones, jetliner type things. And then you have these things called kumabachi, a bear bee.
Yeah.
They're the size of a tennis ball.
Yeah. Deadly ones, the susumebachi.
Sparrow bee. Maybe that's the big attraction in Tokyo this time of year.
Go and check out the hornets.
Yeah.
Splendid. Let's share the love. We've had some growing mountain of feedback in our inbox and our social media feeds. Here's a few excerpts. I particularly like this one from Black Tokyo.
Thank you for being a cheapo. Keep up the good work.
I think that was in reference to...
It was about the Ozeki supermarket in Shimokitazawa. Probably the best supermarket that I've reviewed. That sounds a bit sad, actually. But, supermarkets, they're something you need if you're living here,
Come on, we're preaching to the choir here. Anybody listening is going to be pleased to hear about cheap supermarkets.
Yeah, it's true, yes.
Here's a great one from Juan Ramirez, Tokyo Chibo.
Hey guys, your website rocks.
Asking a question, what's the cheapest retro gaming store in Tokyo?
He actually kind of answered the thing himself. So I said, I'm not really sure, maybe it's somewhere in Akihabara or Nakano. And he said, I've been doing some research and it seems that Hard Off is the cheapest place. So Hard Off is part of the massive chain of secondhand shops. Some of the more well-known stores are Book Off, which as the name suggests is for books. Mode Off, which we've done a review of on the site about, which is clothing. And Hard Off, which probably definitely has the best name.
I wonder what that store sells. Hard Off.
Yes, yes.
Retro games, of course.
Yeah, it's generally hardware. It's not just games. So, it sounds like a place to check out. You're unlikely to find many of those in central Tokyo. They tend to be in the suburbs.
And one more piece of feedback from Paige Connor Totaro on Twitter again.
Love Uniqlo and love your site. We're in Tokyo on a budget for a week and so glad to have found it.
I wonder if they mean Uniqlo or our site.
Indeed. Of course, we'll assume it's our site. Thanks again for all the feedback, guys. Do keep it coming. You might notice us rambling on a bit longer this week because our famed listener, Swedish Otaku, did mention it was a bit shorter.
Yeah, we're sorry about that.
So please accept our apologies. At the moment, you're influencing all the editorial decisions because you're the only person that gives us any feedback on the podcast specifically. Yeah, okay, we might end up rambling for two hours next time.
Shall we go on to the interview then?
Indeed. Let's segue into our interview where I caught up with Ben, who is a friend of a friend, and I ran into him a week ago whilst he was here on holiday. I'm joined now with Ben Yu. Thanks for joining us, Ben.
Thanks for having me.
Ben, I just ran into a couple of days ago, a friend of a friend who's staying here in Tokyo. How long are you staying here?
I've been here for 19 days, but only staying in Tokyo for about the last five or so.
And what is specifically interesting to you cheapos out there is Ben is actually staying in an internet cafe. That's right, he's following our cheapo tip of rocking up to an internet cafe and spending less than 2,000 yen to stay the night. Firstly, let's just find a little bit about Ben. So where are you from, Ben?
I'm from Chicago, Illinois.
And is this your first visit to Tokyo?
First time here.
How are you finding it?
It's the best place I've been outside the US.
Excellent. All the Tokyo cheapos out there will feel a sense of pride here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get on to the factual content of our interview. So firstly, how did you come up with the idea or find out about staying in an internet cafe?
Sure. So I first read about it in passing in a Lonely Planet guidebook, and they mentioned Manga Cafe as a good option if I missed, say, a train, but not as a long-term kind of, you know, main priority.
Not your primary place to stay.
Exactly, right.
Just a backup option.
Yes. As it so happened, when I was traveling with a few friends on the JR 7-day rail pass, one night we actually missed our train and we had to stay overnight. And the only option left us was the Manga Cafe, so I did that with my girlfriend. And found it enjoyable, but then not something that I've really thought about doing long-term until I met Chris. And Chris directed me to the Mambo Cafe in Shibuya, which has just been a fantastic experience. So I'm definitely planning to carry out the rest of my days there.
Which you were staying in somewhere else before I took you to the Mambo Cafe?
Right, yes. Once I stayed there. That was in Shibuya as well. It was the Grand Cyber Cafe.
Right. Out of Mambo and Grand Cyber Cafe, which would you rate the best?
I'd rate Mambo the best because it's 320 yen cheaper.
That's so. Yes, cheapo high five there.
That's right.
Yeah. Specifically, what was the pack that you were staying on? How much did it cost?
Right, I got the 9-hour pack, which is 1680 yen for any hour between 8 to 2 a.m.
How was it? Was it a comfortable night's sleep? Any complaints?
No complaints. If I were to go again, they had three options for where you could stay. You could stay on a mat, you could stay on a reclining chair, or you could stay in a chair that was just upright. And I actually chose the mat because that's what I was familiar with at the Grand Cyber Cafe. But actually, I looked into the reclining chair option, and that by far is much better. Reclines completely flat, much cleaner, and perfectly comfortable.
Do they give you blankets?
No, they do not.
Do you have your own blanket with you?
No.
So you're just kipping on the floor. I guess it's air-conditioned and it's warm enough.
One minor point of discomfort, which was that there was a fan right directly above me on the ceiling. So I was a little chilly, but I just put on my jacket and it was fine. Slept through the night.
Have you ever done anything like this before, outside of Japan?
This would definitely be the first time I've stayed in an accommodation that was not intended necessarily to be. Yeah.
And if you come back to Japan again, will you stay in an internet cafe again?
Absolutely.
Awesome. We were chatting earlier on and you mentioned that you were actually interested in camping over in Yoyogi Park as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I can't see that being much more of a different experience than being in the Manga Cafe, actually.
Maybe it's a little nicer being in the outdoors, waking up with the birds tweeting around you.
Right, right. It actually might be. Find a nice patch of grass, probably the same as the mat in the Manga Cafe, and you can sleep for as long as you want. They'll kick you out after 9 hours.
Exactly, and it's completely free.
Exactly.
So I think next time you come back to Tokyo, Ben, if you stay in Yoyogi Park, we'll have another interview with you about your Yoyogi Park experience.
For sure.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
The word on the street, how it was to stay in a internet cafe overnight. Here's a few more factoids about staying in internet cafes. We've mentioned a couple on the site. There was the, what's it called, Karanet 24.
Yep.
We'll have a link to that on the page for the podcast.
Yeah, which also has karaoke. So, you know, if you can't sleep, you can just, you know, head up to karaoke.
You could sing yourself to sleep.
You could actually sleep in the karaoke place as well if you really wanted to.
I actually slept in a club once.
Okay.
I didn't go there to sleep. I was just so tired, I fell asleep in front of a speaker.
Right.
Which is a lot. Anyway, digression over. So, typical price range. Searching around, there's the Grand Cyber Cafe from Bagus 99. They're a chain. They're kind of seemingly to be one of the more expensive places, and their overnight deal for 9 hours is 1,900 yen.
Quite high, really.
Yeah. Whereas Mambo Cafe, I think, as Ben mentioned, was like about 1,600 for the 9-hour pack.
Mm-hmm. Takarajima is another one. That has a large branch near the south exit of Shibuya Station. And actually, they have a big banner up. It's actually in Japanese, but it says, our rivals are hotels.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of obvious that they want you to stay there. and I think they go probably a similar price. Something to be aware of is this: they have these kind of all-night packages, which can sometimes be up to 12 hours. But you can get shorter packages, like 6 hours, for example, or 9 hours. So, you know, if you're not a heavy sleeper, you could possibly get one of the 6 hour packs, you know, or, you know, if you've, you know, been out in the town. You know, you've got to be aware with these kind of places. They're not for the faint-hearted. There are some risks in staying in these places. Not so much safety, but more in terms of...
quality of sleep.
Quality of sleep. Also, whether you can actually find one that's not booked out completely. Yeah. So, for example, if you happen to turn up in Tokyo on a day where you know, it's really windy or something, or there's some kind of, you know, mild typhoon passing through, you know, the trains might stop, and then these places will be completely packed. You won't be able to get in. You know, you'll have to sit in McDonald's all night. So.
And you can't book them in advance.
That's right.
The risk is more in whether you'll actually be able to stay in it, not so much what it'll be like. As I think you would have gathered from the interview with Ben, he's a bit kind of gung-ho, and he likes travelling and new experiences. So if you're kind of like Ben, then you'll be fine. It'd be great. But if you're used to a nice comfy bed, peace and quiet all night, then I wouldn't recommend.
They are actually occasionally used instead of love hotels, so, you know.
Apparently the soundproofing is quite good, though.
Okay.
I was thinking more in terms of, like, you know, how Ben mentioned the fan. Like,
right. And obviously gaming. The original idea of them was so people could play games, online games and things. So most people wear headphones, so that's probably not a big deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, clicking of keys all night, so... I guess if you're not into an internet cafe, another alternative could be something like a capsule hotel.
I would say that would be an excellent alternative. Not only are they quite cheap, they're also quite a novel experience.
What's the price range for those?
You're going to struggle to find anything much less than about 3,000 for the night.
Okay. I know a place that in Akasaka, which is actually a really flash area, which has capsules for as low as about 2,300 yen, I think.
Yeah.
If you book ahead, you know, you have to book 2 weeks in advance.
And if you book like 5 days or something, then you get discounts. But if it's just one night, I think the price of the one in Shibuya... I think it was like 2,800, but it's around about the 3,000 mark, maybe a little bit under, a little bit over.
Right.
With discounts to be had if you can book more than one night. Or I think the discounts come when it's like something like 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah, the big advantage, as we mentioned, is you can actually book them. So, you know, that's an advantage over an internet cafe.
Internet cafe, yeah.
There's a few small disadvantages. One of them is they're rather strict on their curfew. So if you turn up, you know, after a night on the drink at about 2 a.m. in the morning, it's going to be all locked up. You won't be able to get in.
If you're bringing your significant other along, you're not going to be able to get like a twin capsule.
Twin capsule.
You have to sleep on different floors.
Yeah, they keep men and women separate. And I mean, that's another thing. I don't know if it happens a lot, but a friend of mine stayed in a capsule hotel, and he I think he went to have a shower or whatever at the capsule hotel, and he came back, and there was a salaryman. You know, like a Japanese guy passed out in his cubicle. So he had to get the guy, you know, taken out.
Nice.
So that's the thing. Like any of these places, capsule hotels, internet cafes, people are, you know, they'll go there because they're so drunk that they missed the last train, or, you know. But, you know, it's all part of the experience.
Another little caveat, I think it's called Capsule Land in Shibuya, is male only. There's no space for female guests.
Uh-huh.
There used to be, but obviously there wasn't enough demand or something, or maybe naughty happenings in the night or something.
Yeah, they tend to be concentrated around the larger stations, you know, places like Shinjuku, Shibuya, Ikebukuro.
I think the other thing is they typically have like a sento-type public bath, which is another novel Japanese experience.
You quickly get tired of, but anyway.
If you're visiting Tokyo, then a night in a capsule hotel is such a no-brainer.
Definitely.
Splendid. I think that about brings us to the close for this week. Golden Week's coming up soon. Oh. Don't book anything during Golden Week. Okay. Stay in Tokyo. Okay, so the 29th of April.
That's right. It's kind of a funny Golden Week. There's only actually two holidays during that week, and the following Monday is also a holiday.
So the tip is just don't try and do anything during Golden Week, because that's the week where everybody in Japan goes on holiday. So everything's double the price, everything's completely jammed.
Stay in Tokyo.
Stay in Tokyo.
Go and look at the flowers.
That's it. go on holiday the week after Golden Week, because it will be back to normal prices and there'll be no one there. And so if you can choose your holidays, then don't choose them during Golden Week. It's a trap.
So they used to say, coming to Japan, they used to say, don't come in Golden Week because everything's closed and you won't be able to do anything. But it's changed a lot, so actually a good time to come into Tokyo. Of course, as soon as you start traveling anywhere, you're going to start, meeting the massive crowds and expenses. But Tokyo itself,
it's quite quiet during Golden Week, because everyone wants to get away.
Yep.
So that's the end of our podcast this week. Thanks for listening, ladies, gentlemen, and cheapos.
Transgender?
Transgender cheapos, of course. So we'll be back soon. Do have a low-cost time in the meantime.
Dates, dogs, cheap hotels, cheap holidays, cheap sumo, cheap salads.